In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's the feast of St. John of the Cross. Good things are coming. Amazing things are happening. Hang in there. It's going to be good. And I think our Lord is just asking all of us to really get ready for this new and divine way of holiness Pope St. John Paul II talked about. And as we get into this part two, as we read what Jesus tells Louisa, it's really a new beginning for everyone. It's to go back to where Adam was before the fall. And this light of the divine will helps us understand there are very few human words that explain what's coming. This unity, this fusion, this light, this love, this light, life of God is God wants to give to us. He wants us in his image and likeness. And the best way to explain it is we are that drop of water, that drop of nothing entering into the cup filled with wine, and it fuses and diffuses and the water becomes wine. That drop of water, that drop of nothing participates in all the glory, if you want to say, of the wine. And that's what God is asking of us. He's asking us to really begin to turn back to him and begin to live this abundant life. So we're starting tonight or today at volume 20, December 12th, 1926. After this, my sweet Jesus showed me himself, placing my little soul inside a sun. So figure that one out. I mean, the sun is so magnificent. So, I mean, the earth is basically, a pea compared to a basketball, maybe even smaller than that. And humanity is not even a pinprick on that pea. Jesus showed himself who he was, basically, and placed Louisa in this sun, this burning fire, this consuming fire that doesn't go out. And with his holy hands, he held me still within that light. So again, she's describing in human terms a divine reality. And this is how God explained it to her so she could put it down on paper for us to begin to understand, you know, the glory of God, the magnificence of God, and the nothingness of us. God is so glorious. He is so magnificent, and he's asking us to participate in him. He's asking us to go back to what he wanted before the fall of Adam for humanity. And this is what's coming. This is what Jesus and Mary breathed into Louisa, the new Adam, Jesus, the new Eve, Mary. This abundant life of Jesus and Mary was given to Louisa. So we go to Louisa, not for Louisa. We go to Louisa so that we also can begin to receive this divine light, this divine life, this divine love of Jesus and Mary. Someone called yesterday and said to me, what's this fire that's coming? What's this, you know, this terror that's coming? And I said, it's not going to be terror at all. For those who love God, it will be ecstasy. It's the consuming love of God shown to us by the burning heart of Jesus, the sacred heart of Jesus, the burning heart of Mary, the immaculate heart of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. This consuming love is going to come upon the earth to take what belongs to God. And that's why this separation has to take place. The separation between the sheep and the goats, the wheat and the weeds, this separation. God is now asking, what do you want? What do you choose? And the more that we choose God, the sooner the kingdom will come. That's what Jesus tells Louisa. When I find the souls who want the divine will more than anything, more than their human will, more than their human ego, he says, I will give it to the world. So he showed himself as this sun and places the nothingness of Luisa in the sun. And with his holy hands, Luisa says, Jesus held me still within that light, which was such that it covered me completely inside and out. And I could not see, nor was I able to see anything but light. This is that intimacy that God wants with us. Entering into nothing but light, but love, but life of God. Because of our fallen nature, because of Adam's original sin, Jesus came to redeem, and Our Lady was with Jesus on Calvary. And this redemption, the kingdom of redemption, is here. And now, Jesus says, now is the time. Finally, 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 I can bring all of humanity back to me the way I wanted it. So he starts with the newborn, Luisa. And the why and the how this is going to happen is what we find in the Book of Heaven. These secrets, these treasures, these lessons, these knowledges, he wants to breathe into us. As he breathed it into Luisa, she's the only one that lives this life, the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. The saints had a virtue or two of Jesus and Mary by doing the will of God. But now Jesus wants us to learn how to live in the will of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. This is that great outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's going to come upon the earth, this second Pentecost, which will make the first Pentecost look like a drop in the bucket compared to this divine life, this divine love, this divine light of God. And she says, and my adored God added, my daughter Luisa, in creating Adam, the divinity placed Adam inside the son of the divine will and all creatures in Adam. See, this is why when we pray our rounds in the morning, we want to not only fuse ourselves with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit by fusing ourselves with the reflection of the Trinity on earth, Jesus, Mary, and Luisa, but we want to fuse ourselves in all of creation, all of redemption, which then we enter into sanctification. So this fusing with creation is essential. All of creation has to reign in us. Listen to what Jesus says. Luisa, in creating Adam, the divinity placed inside Adam, the son of my divine will, and all creatures, all of creation in Adam. We have to get back to that kingship that Adam possessed. And that's why right now we have earthquakes, floods, famines, plagues, hurricanes, tornadoes. Why? Jesus says creation is upset with humanity for leaving the divine will. And it's trying to wake humanity up so that humanity will realize, I have to go back to God. I have to live this abundant life in, with, through, and for God, as God has done this in, with, through, and for us, Jesus hanging on the cross, taking our punishment. So Jesus says this sun served as a garment, not only for Adam's soul, but its rays were such as to convert also his body in such a way as to serve as more than a garment for him, rendering Adam so adored and so beautiful that neither kings nor emperors have ever appeared so adorned as Adam appeared with this garment of most refulgent light. So when he sinned, he was naked. Okay, what does that mean? He lost the glory of divinity. He lost the garment of royalty. See, God wants to clothe us with royalty again. And in what we're clothed now with is our humanity, our miserable humanity. And Jesus says, you're wearing rags and you're covered with mud and you're eating dirt. He says, come back into the kingdom. Come back and begin to reign with God as true sons and daughters. So Jesus says this, those who say that before sinning, Adam went naked are wrong. False, false. If all things created by us, triune God, are adored and clothed, he, Adam, who was our jewel, Adam, the purpose for which all things were created, was not to have the most beautiful garment, the most beautiful ornament of all. So here Jesus is showing us that Adam and Eve weren't running around naked. They were clothed in divinity. This is why Jesus says to Louisa, during this time of Lent, it's very important that we pray the hours of the Passion. And Jesus tells Louisa that he was stripped naked. Why? He says that the clothing of divinity was taken for Adam, and I want to reclothe him with my humanity, my holy humanity. And I remember Father Gobi, Our Lady Speaks for Brother Beloved Priests. Father Gobi saw Jesus completely stripped, completely naked, dripping with blood. His skin was off him. And he said to the Blessed Mother, this is one of the things that he talked about in his retreats. He said to the Blessed Mother, why is Jesus like this? And Our Lady said, this is because of receiving communion in the hand. Now, you can believe that or not. I believe it. If I drop a host, if I drop a consecrated host, it is a sacrilege, whether it's on purpose or not. And I have to confess that, you know, this is a sacrilege. With communion, they've discovered that particles of the host, every day at Holy Mass, when I clean the paten, there's always particles of hosts, always. And I'm the only one receiving communion, basically, from the paten. And that, I've seen so many people after communion dusting off their hands. We can understand why Our Lady said, this is what happens to her son. Good things are coming, though. Great things are happening. God is going to bring about a new beginning for all of humanity. And this is what he says. He says, so to Adam befitting the beautiful garment of light of the Son of our divine will, S-U-N of the most holy divine will, since Adam possessed this garment of light, he had no need of material garments in order to cover himself. And as he withdrew from my divine fiat, so did the light withdraw from his soul. This light, this love, this life of God, this intimacy with God withdrew from his soul and from his body. Adam lost his beautiful garment. In seeing himself no longer surrounded with divine light, Adam felt naked. When Adam went back to God and, you know, where have you been? And he says, we were naked. And, you know, and God says, then, you know, you ate of the tree. And God knew this, but he had to hear it from them. This is confession. Yes, I ate of the tree. And so this is Adam's response to God. And he says, well, what you've chosen is not what I wanted for you. And since there's the tree of life in the garden, if you eat of the tree of life, you will be like this forever. God says, then you have to leave. You know, I can't trust you that you won't eat of the tree of life and you will live like this forever. So in God's mercy, he releases Adam and Eve from paradise and puts the angel with a flaming sword there saying, you can't come back. You can't come back. Basically, until you return this, you return to live this life where God can trust you to then give you this eternal life from the tree of life. So what happens at that point is God is asking us to trust in him so much. Here, he hung on the tree, died on the tree, on the cross to redeem us. And Our Lady was with him co-redeeming. And this life of Jesus and Mary, this surrendered life of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, is now breathed into a newborn, Louisa. And as we read, as we study, as we put this into practice, what happens is a new beginning happens for all of humanity. A new beginning. And how glorious this is for us to be alive at this time. How magnificent it is that everything's going to be restored Everything's going to be recreated, if you want to say, regenerated, as we say at Holy Mass. This regeneration is necessary so that we can go back to where we belong. So where did we go? We went to the earth. And what did Jesus say about the earth? I saw Lucifer fall like lightning to the earth. Basically, Jesus now comes to redeem us, save us through his suffering on the cross, on the tree. This is our tree of life now. We eat of his flesh, drink his blood at Holy Mass so that we can be nourished to go back to where we belong. That's why Our Lady, when she said to Bruno in 1947, time has now come to an end. It's not the end of the world, but she says, now we're going to leave, basically end this era of being separated from God. We're going to go back to this new and divine way of holiness that Pope St. John Paul II talked about. How do we get there? Jesus is so amazing that he asked Luisa to stay in bed and to write everything he tells her and to put it into practice, not only to read it, not only to write it for us to read it, but to put it into practice. And that's what Luisa did. She read, she reread, she studied, she lived this life that Jesus and Mary breathed into her. And now we also can participate in that by reading, studying, and putting into practice the truths, these lessons that Jesus gave to Luisa. It's a glorious time to be alive. Yes, there's crazy things going on, amazing things going on, but the kingdom is coming. And as Jesus says, the we have to go through this birth as a woman who's pregnant has to give birth. The at the final times, the final days are painful. The suffering is intense and it's more frequent until the birth. That's what we're going through now. I really believe that. If you really understand what Our Lady has been saying at her apparitions, from Akita, from La Salette, from Fatima. I mean, when you really listen to what she's saying, she's telling us to get ready. As Jesus told St. Faustina, the final devotion that I give to my church before I return is divine mercy. That's the final devotion. Why would he say that to St. Faustina? Because it's true. It's the final devotion. So at 3 o'clock, we pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Jesus, I trust in you. It's going to get tough. It's going to get painful. But we were called to live at this time. We were born to live at this time. We were predestined to live at this time. And Jesus has said to Luisa, I'm going to give you the way and the how, the means to get through it. And that, to me, is the Book of Heaven, which he dictated to Luisa. And Luisa, being obedient and faithful, wrote everything that Jesus told her. That's why when you read volume 17, May 4th, 1925, that's like the center of the 36 volumes. What does Jesus say to her? He says, did you write everything? She goes, yes, Lord, I wrote everything you said. And he goes, what have I told you that you forgot the most important thing about the divine will? What if I told you that's what you forgot? She goes, well, tell me again, and I'll put it down on paper. And that's like the part two. That's why he says, continuing with what she said before, on volume 17, May 4th, 1925, Jesus says to Luisa, I am going, well, read it. It's read that, study it, and it will click. Everything will make sense about what this gift is. When you listen to those words about Jesus, is the most important part of the divine will. And if we understand volume 17, May 4th, 1925, if we really understand it, there's no question why we're going through what we're going through and who is in charge. God is in charge. And so Jesus says this, he wants us to turn back to him And he says, listen to what I gave Adam. I want to give this back to humanity. And the first one who has received it is Louisa, but she hasn't received everything. Why? What do you mean? She lives in it. Jesus said to Louisa, everything I possess, I give to you. What doesn't Louisa possess at this point in time? That's the glorified body. Our Lady possesses it as Theotokos, Mother of God. Jesus possesses it as the Son of God, the Son of Mary. What doesn't Louisa possess? It's the glorified body. What's coming is going to, Jesus says, shake the world. And I think it's going to shake the world as for glory. I mean, others will be terrified. Yes, there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. But for those who love Jesus and Mary, and that's what we pray for in the divine will, we pray that all of humanity embrace this new life of this true life of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. This is what we pray for in the divine will, in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. The divine will prayers are powerful. Why are they powerful? If you go to the internet, every heresy that the church fought and conquered is here again. Every heresy. And you're going to hear things that are beyond what you've ever thought of. You're going to listen to souls who say, from the first heresy to the most recent heresy, this is what life is about. And a lot of people are going to, it says, scripture says that if the time wasn't shortened, even the elect would be seduced by this, by these lies, by these heresies. What Jesus is asking of us is to turn to him to this universal life, this Catholic life, and begin to live it now before we die. Live heaven on earth now before we die. So Jesus says, as Adam withdrew from the divine will, so did the light withdraw from his soul, from his body, and he lost the beautiful garment. And seeing himself no longer surrounded with divine light, he felt naked, ashamed in seeing that he was the only one in all of paradise to be naked in the midst of all created things. And he felt the need to cover himself, and he made use of superfluous things, created things, to cover his nakedness. The leaves reflected the glory of God. And so he lost that glory. This was so true that after my highest sorrow and seeing my garments divided and my tunic grabbed away, gambled away, as my humanity rose again, I took no other garments, but I clothed myself with the most refulgent garment of the Son of this my supreme will. This, when we see Our Lady, every time she appears, she's different, beautiful, but different. These are the garments, if you want to say, these are the qualities, the divine qualities that Our Lady's reflecting of God. The same thing, what's going to happen with us. We're going to reflect the divine qualities of God. We're going to enter into these divine qualities as much as we want or as little as we want, 30, 60, or 100 fold. Jesus says this. He says, this refulgent garment of the supreme will that was the same garment as the one Adam possessed when he was created. Because in order to open heaven, my holy humanity was to wear the garment of light of the Son of my supreme will, a royal garment. He was king of the earth. And as it gave me the insignia of king and dominion into my hands, I, Jesus, opened the heavens to all the redeemed ones, presented myself before my celestial Father, and I offered to the Father the garments of his will, whole and beautiful, with my holy humanity covered, so that as to make the Father recognize all the redeemed ones as our children. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit's children. See, Jesus did everything. He's done everything for us. And now he says, now is the time for the Holy Spirit to sanctify humanity. To, as Jesus says, to spiritualize and divinize humanity. We don't become gods but we share in his divinity. This intimacy with God takes place. This light, this love, this life of God, this fire of heaven, Sacred Heart of Jesus, Naked Heart of Mary, this consuming love. This is what we're going to participate in for all eternity. So Jesus says, so while it is life, at the same time, my holy divine will is the true garment of the creation of humanity. And therefore, it holds all rights over each and every human being. How much do they not do to escape from within this light? People will do anything to enjoy earth, anything to have the pleasures of earth. This is why we have Lent, to help us separate ourselves from Lent. I told you this once before, but when we were in the seminary, the minor seminary, we were 14 years old. What did the priest say? He says, if you give up something each Lent and live that, by the time you're 80, you're ready to give up your heartbeat. You're ready to give up your breath. You've surrendered everything to God. All that you wanted of earth, you've surrendered to God. So now you can freely say, into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit. This is what God is asking of us. Are we enticed by the earth, the world, the flesh, and the devil? Or are we enticed with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? See, this is why when we do our prevening act, the very first thing is, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I want to fuse myself with you. That's the very first thing we do in the morning. And God says, good, you're on the right track. Why are you doing this? So I can fuse myself with Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. The ones who are the reflection, you said, of the Trinity on earth. God goes, good, why do you want to do this? Well, so that I can fuse myself with creation, redemption, and sanctification. And God goes, good, why? See, the Lord wants to know, why are you doing this? Why are you washing the dishes? Why are you driving? Why are you running? What is the reason for it? And our response should be 100% for your glory and the salvation of souls. That should be our response to God. Why am I doing this? For your glory and honor. For all humanity to turn back to you. This is what God is waiting for. He says, I'm waiting for the souls who want to live in the divine will so I can give this gift to the world. We can begin to possess this gift. Jesus says, but how much do they not do to escape from within this divine light? See, we got to go back to this divine light, this divine life, this divine love of God. We have to get back to who we are, nothing. Who God is, everything. And this is what Jesus is waiting for. Therefore, be still in this Son of the eternal fiat. This is what he's telling us. Enter into this life. Be still in it. Participate in it. Enjoy it. And I will help you maintain yourself in this light. So the first thing that Jesus is asking is, are you willing to say, yes, I want to enter into the Son of the eternal fiat? That's a question that God is asking us. And we go, yes, I want to do this. And then God goes, good, I'll help you do this. I'll help you maintain yourself in this divine light, this divine life, this divine love. On hearing this, Louisa said, I said to Jesus, my all, how is this? If Adam in the state of innocence had no need of garments because of the light of your holy divine will was more than a garment, the sovereign queen, however, possessed your will as whole, and you yourself were your will itself, yet neither the celestial virgin, Mother Mary, nor yourself wore the garments of light. And both of you made use of material garments to cover yourselves. How is this? This question is our question. At the end of Louisa's life, Jesus says, you know, come on, let's go to heaven. And she goes, well, I'm really sorry for that. Always living in the divine world, doubting you, worrying, fearful, anxious, complaining, negative. And Jesus says, Louisa, you were never out of the divine will. All your questions, all your doubts, all your worries, all your fears, all your anxieties were those of the souls who would be reading the book of heaven. And I let you experience everything they were going through so that you could present it to me and I could answer you to answer their doubts, their worries, their fears, their anxieties, their questions. That's why Jesus says, all your answers are here in the book of heaven. Every one of your questions are answered. If you read the book of heaven, you will have no questions. It'll be fiat. It's Our Lady had that right from the beginning. And fiat mihi, let it be done as you say. When we read the book of heaven, oh, that's a good, I'm glad God answered that. Oh, I never thought of that. Thank you, Lord, for sharing that. Oh, this is, he's helping us understand how to stay in this light. And Jesus said, my daughter Louisa, both my mother and I came to set fraternal bonds with humanity. We came to raise decayed humanity and therefore to take up the miseries and the humiliations into which it had fallen in order to expiate for them at the cost of our lives. Had they seen us clothed with divine light, who would have dared to approach us to deal with us? And in the course of my passion, who would have dared to touch me? The light of the sun of my divine will would have blinded them and crushed them to the ground, giving you a glimpse of the illumination of conscience. You don't know what's coming. The sun of my divine will would have blinded them and crushed them. We're going to see very clearly who we are and who God is. And people will die of this. That's why when that day comes of the illumination of conscience, keep on saying, repeating, Jesus, I trust in you. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on humanity. We're going to see holy, holy, holy Lord God of hosts. We're going to be in God's presence. And I can guarantee you, we're going to be on our faces, adoring him. As scripture says, no man can see God and live. This is the other thing too. You have to remember what scripture says. What we are now is children of God. What we are going to become, we do not know, but what we do know is we will become like him because we will see him as he is. What's coming is glorious. What's coming is magnificent. And if you want to know what's coming, read the book of heaven. God is getting you ready. He's getting you ready. He's getting every one of us ready. And he's asking us, when we learn this, help those around us who didn't want to read, who didn't want to study this. We're going to help them understand what God is doing. It's God is in charge. He's got great plans. He says, therefore, instead of being blinded and crushed, therefore, I, God, had to make a greater miracle, hiding this light within the veil of my holy humanity, appearing as one of them. Because it represented not Adam innocent, but Adam fallen. And so God has taken upon everything upon himself. This is why the cross is so important. The 24 hours of the Passion is so important. The holy, holy, holy Lord God took upon himself to represent the fallen Adam and to take Adam's place. Everything that Jesus went through. This is why, if you haven't seen The Passion of the Christ of Mel Gibson, this is a good time to watch it during Lent. Don't close your eyes. I know so many people say, oh, I don't want to watch this. It's so horrible. Look at it. He brought his mother to watch him die. He wants us to see what he went through. And this is just a glimpse. It's just a glimpse, which is the movie. But God wants us to see what he has done. He wants to show us his love for us. And he says that to the saints. He says, if you were the only one on earth, I would do the same thing. I would go through the same crucifixion and death and resurrection. This is what's coming. A new and divine way of holiness is coming to the earth. So Jesus says, so I was subject to all of Adam's evils, taking them upon myself as if they were my own in order to expiate for them before divine justice. Jesus took upon, Jesus became sin. He was mocked and laughed at and ridiculed and scourged and crucified, pierced with a lance. Why? He took upon himself our punishment. That's why when you read the book of heaven, great things are coming. Jesus says the chastisement is going to be all over the world. But if in those communities that read the book of heaven, read the 24 hours of the Passion, the chastisement will be lessened. Learn what Jesus has done. There was no COVID in Corrado these past 2 years. The bombing didn't happen over Corrado during World War II. Jesus protected that town. Why? Luisa was there. If we are one with Luisa, Luisa is here. And Jesus will protect the areas that are praying what Luisa prayed, the 24 hours of the Passion. But when I rose again from death, Jesus said, representing Adam innocent, the new Adam, I, God, cease the miracle of keeping my garments, keeping the garments of the refulgent son of my divine will hidden within the veil of my holy humanity. So here he says this light, and the apostles didn't recognize him. Mary Magdalene didn't recognize him. See, this light, this love, this life of God is to be given to us if we wish. It's to be given to those who want what God wants. That's why Jesus would say to Luisa, Luisa, what do you want? She says, I only want to do your will. He says, I know that. But what do you want? And she says, I only want your will. And she says, I know that, Luisa. Now just listen to me. What do you want? You know, what do you want? She says, I only want your will. And then Jesus says to Luisa, brava, finally, I have a soul that wants only what I want, just like my mother. I have a soul who wants what I want. Jesus says that the religious, he says this about the religious, they always want something. They want Jesus and they want comfort. They want Jesus and they want respect. They want Jesus and they want a nice community. And Jesus says, I'm looking for souls who want nothing but me and me alone. No comforts. No, I'll take you and just Jesus, Jesus alone. That's what he's waiting for. He's waiting for us to say to him, I want what you want. I want nothing else but what you want. I want you and you alone. That's what Jesus said. He's waiting for humanity to come to that point of the life of the Blessed Mother. Come to that point of the life of Jesus. Father, not my will, but your will be done. Our Lady, fiat mihi, let it be done as you say. This is what they breathed into Luisa. This fiat, let it be done as you wish, as you want, as you will. Let it be done. And that's what Jesus is saying to us. What do you want? I have to give this to you. What do you want? And so we say to Jesus, echoing Luisa, I only want you. That's what we're being trained to do. When we get to that point, I only want you, you alone. When we get to that point, Jesus will say, good, now I can give this to the world. Why? Because I have other souls that are like Luisa. This is what Jesus wants. Not because of Luisa, because Luisa's life was the true life of Jesus and Mary. Nothing but God and God alone. This Lent, these 40 days and 40 nights can be a glorious time of dying to our ego and our will to live in God's holy divine will. This is what God's waiting for. And it's not far from us. It's what does our heart want? What do we want to enter into this divine I love you? Do you want to enter in this fire, this consuming fire of love, which is the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, that's found in Louisa? Are we covered with the blood of Jesus? Are we under the mantle of Mary? What's the mantle of Louisa? What's the mantle of Louisa? Mantle of light, of love, of life. That's what God gave. It's the life that Adam lost. The image and likeness of God. This is what God wants to give to humanity. Why is Louisa important? I want to be covered with the blood of Jesus. I want to be under the mantle of Mary, but I also want to be under this mantle of light that was given to Louisa. This life, this love of God, which is, again, the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. Listen to what Jesus says. He says, keeping the garments of refulgent sun of my hidden will within the veil of my holy humanity, I remain clothed with the most pure light, with this royal dazzling garment of heaven that I, God, made my entrance into my fatherland. This is how he entered into heaven, the glorified new Adam, the magnificent new Adam. Like I said before, everything that Jesus has in Mary, this is what Jesus says when he talks about himself. He's always talking about his mother. The two are one. Everything that Jesus had, he says, I give to you, Louisa. The only thing that Louisa misses is this clothing in divinity, this glorified body that Jesus has, that Mary has. The things that are coming are going to shake the world for the good. It'll shake the world for those who don't want God, and that'll be wailing and grinding of teeth. But for those who love God, Jesus says, you do what I want, and I'll do what you want. So what do we want? Do we want our family, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our parishioners into the kingdom? If we do, Jesus says, learn what I taught Louisa. Put it into practice. Learn these lessons, these teachings that I'm giving to Louisa, so that you also can be clothed in divinity. This royal garments of love, of light, of life. I remain clothed with the most pure light, and with this royal and dazzling garment that I made, I entered the fatherland, entered heaven, leaving the doors open that had remained closed on the part up to that point, so as to let all those who had followed me enter. So all the prophets and the kings, those that loved God, those the saints of the Old Testament now entered in with Jesus. More is coming. Glorious things are coming. Now it's all the souls that have lived this universal life, even those that are not in the church. See, Jesus says, when I see a soul, the church says this, if a soul doesn't, never heard of Jesus, but is trying to live a soul of goodwill, he is considered Catholic. A soul of goodwill, peace on earth to men of goodwill. So you were going to see good people of goodwill in the kingdom because they never heard of Jesus. They never knew of God, but they love God in their way, and they're part of the church. So the church says there's more outside the church than in the church. There's more of the, well, you think about it, out of 8 billion people, 1 billion are Catholic. God is in love with us. And he's now saying, I want all of humanity to enter into this universal life, this Catholic life. And that's what he says in the last chapter of Volume 24. There'll be one church, one flock, one shepherd. There'll be one universal life, not many universal lives. So great things are right around the corner. Our God is saying to us, get into this. Read, study, put this into practice. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa, and we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.